Good evening. If you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20, I'd like to go through chapter 20 without too much comment. It's pretty straightforward. There'll just be a few things that we have to look at. And so it begins here, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" For some reason, David leaves Naoth. He seemed to be secure there, but he's probably saw some people standing around outside the town watching, making sure that's where he was, so that Saul would know that and be able to come and get him whenever the time came. So he knew that Saul hadn't been changed from his experience that he had there when he had come to Naoth. So he goes by way of Jonathan to find out the answer. So he's come back to be very close to where Saul is, and he finds Jonathan. David's questions are meant here to find out what he was guilty of. And if it would be possible to get a right relationship back with Saul. And in a sense here, he's also testing Jonathan's loyalties, since Jonathan had not warned him concerning Saul's attack on him at his own house, and also hadn't sent word that he was coming to Naoth to get him. And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? Is it not so?" Jonathan just can't believe that Saul might keep something from him. And so he was sure that he would know if Saul had bad intentions toward David at some time here. And so he says these things to David. But Jonathan is led astray in his trusting that he has, and evidently he won't be informed about what's happened at David's house and also what happened at Ramah. So David swore moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." David told Jonathan that his trust in Saul was misplaced because Saul was well aware of their friendship that they had developed over the years. And he would keep some things from Jonathan. David tells him that he believes that his life is but one move away from being killed. So this is how much he believed that Saul was going to be after him. Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." So Jonathan understands here what David's saying to him, and he asks what he can do to help. Then David suggests a plan to test Saul. And David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says thus, it is well, Thy servant shall have peace, but if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. So David's plan consists of five parts here. David will go and hide in a certain place in the field for 3 days. He'll not show up at the monthly feast that he's required to as a captain. And also it was a monthly feast that that entire nation was to observe. And so when Saul inquires about his absence, Jonathan will tell him that David has gone to see his family for a special sacrifice there. So Jonathan will ascertain Saul's intentions to see if David is still in danger, and then Jonathan will report to David on the third day. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? So David calls upon their covenant that they've made, and he tells Jonathan, if after you inquire of Saul, you find out that there's something sinful about what I've done, I expect you to come out here and kill me on the third day. Don't let Saul do it. You come and do it. And so he continues, and Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? So Jonathan assures him that if he knows what he knows, David will know. Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what if thy father answereth thee roughly? So David wants to know how Jonathan is going to secretly tell him Saul's answer. And Jonathan's answer was to make or expand their present covenant. And Jonathan said unto David, come, let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. So Jonathan takes David out to a private place, some place where they'll only be by themselves and God watching over them. And he takes them there to make another covenant with him. And this would also be a good place where in private they could divide another animal and lay it out so that they could walk between them as they made their covenant. Well, this new covenant had four clauses to it. Clause number one, Jonathan would sound out Saul concerning his feelings toward David within 3 days. In verse 12 it says, and Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show thee. Second clause, Jonathan would tell David what he had discovered, and would let David go in peace if it was bad. And he also pronounces a blessing here on David. He says, the Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. If it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he has been with my father. And so he says to them, as this animal is cut in pieces, that's what I expect to happen to me if I don't come back here and tell you the truth. And if it's bad against you, we'll let you go away here from peace. And the third clause is David would always show kindness to Jonathan and not kill him when David took the throne. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not. Well, it was a common practice of Eastern kings that whenever they took the throne, that they would kill off any of the previous king's family so that there would not be an opportunity for an uprising and putting them back on the throne. In fact, it would go so far in some realms that they would kill off all their brothers and sisters as well so that they could not come and take over the throne. And so Jonathan has obviously become aware that David will be the next king and that he will not get his right as prince to become king. And so he says, as long as I'm alive, you won't kill me. Even when you've taken the throne, you'll leave me alive. And then the fourth clause was, this David would not kill Jonathan's family when he took the throne. It says in 15, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So Jonathan tells David his plan for testing his father. He says, then Jonathan said, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone easel. So they pick out a certain spot out in the field where David has hidden himself before, and he'll take care of business there. And then Jonathan tells David how he will report his findings to him. I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, before the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon a seat, as at other times, even upon the seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by the king's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He's not clean. Surely he's not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now I have found favor in thine eyes. Let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat that second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him, and he said unto his lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And then when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, Go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. This was their final goodbye. They would never see each other again. But the covenant stood. We won't see that until 2 Samuel. In chapter 21, sometimes scripture leaves clues to things in different places that we must, after we have all the information, extrapolate what actually happened. And so I'm here to confess that I gave you the wrong answer a couple of weeks ago when you asked me something about the tabernacle. I didn't remember this section coming up. So what about the tabernacle? What's happened to it? Well, in 1 Samuel 1 through 4, the tabernacle is located at Shiloh. And that's where we first meet Samuel and Eli and his evil sons. And then in chapter 5, the tabernacle is destroyed by the Philistines, and the ark is taken away, and they keep it for 7 months, which is all they can stand. And then in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the ark is returned to Beth Shemesh, and then after a problem with it being there, it's hauled off to Kirjath-Jearim and put into the house of Abinadab under the care of Eleazar. Well, the other point that we know is that in 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 4, David comes to Abinadab's house and takes the ark to Jerusalem. But what happens for the ark between that? And what's happened with the tabernacle? Well, we find out here in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 to 9. And apparently what we see here is that the tabernacle was reestablished at Kirjath-Jearim. We're not told it directly. We have to extrapolate that fact from the things that we find out here. And they must have built that tabernacle around Abinadab's house, or at least with, you know, they could have taken the ark out of the house literally and just next to it have placed the tabernacle there. We come to a town here in verse 1 called Nob. Nob was a city of priests. You could see it from a high spot out of Jerusalem. It was within walking distance of Jerusalem, but it was also within 5 miles of Kirjath-Jearim. And so the priests obviously had gathered themselves into this town, and it was only a short 4 or 5 mile walk over to the tabernacle to do the services that were required there. And we make this educated guess based on the fact that Ahimelech in this chapter has showbread in his possession. There would be no reason to have any showbread around unless they had placed it in the tabernacle, because the showbread that he has is the bread that has been taken out of the tabernacle and was to be taken. He also has Goliath's sword at hand that he can give to David. So as we come here, it says, then David came to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? Now we don't know for sure, but it looks like Ahimelech here happens to be the high priest at the time. But Ahimelech fears something is wrong when he sees David come all by himself without an army troop with him. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. And David tries to calm his fear by telling a lie about being on secret business for the king. This is the first of several bad decisions in this chapter on David's part that will produce some bad results, not only for him, but for others. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. David and his people, he has with him, have used up all the supplies that they have, and David needs to get some food for them. Also, I'll pick that up here in a minute. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand. It's not baking day. We've eaten up everything. Tomorrow is baking day, but we don't have anything left now. And he says, but there is hallowed bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is as a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. We can assume that since David has left Jonathan, that he's collected a small following with him. If you look at his travels from leaving Jonathan, he's been traveling in Judah, and he has probably picked up family members along the way. And their reasoning for joining him was as if David is in bad, has fallen out of favor with the king, it won't be long before the king sees us, and we are no longer in his favor. Also, remember Saul's promise to David was that his family would be made special. They'd become nobles in Israel. And so Saul would probably be after them sooner or later. So the priests gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread, which was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So the showbread that was taken away from the altar, the table of showbread, was to be eaten by the priest. Ahimelech follows the spirit of the law here in giving the bread to David. And Jesus uses this particular teaching lesson in Matthew 12, that sometime the practice of the letter of the law extended to the spirit of the law. In Matthew 12, at verse 3, it says, "But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So it was still a right thing for Ahimelech to do, to give David the bread, because they needed it. It wasn't some frivolous thing that Ahimelech was doing. They were hungry. They needed food. And now, in verse 7, "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul." Well, no matter how you try to keep something secret, there always seems to be somebody around observing you. And if you do manage to keep it from everybody, obviously there's still somebody that's observing you, the Lord himself. "And David said unto Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth, behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me." So David is now armed. He has food for a while. And so he's off. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." A lesson for us: when you act in fear, you will usually make the wrong decision. Here's David's second error here. Where would be the last place you'd want to show up with Goliath's sword? In Goliath's hometown, with his five brothers, who would be armed to the teeth, just with opportunity to get vengeance. Who has David been fighting and winning against all these years? The Philistines, and especially those from Gath. So he acts very stupidly in doing this. "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Well, he ran away to Achish in fear, only to become more afraid. He's standing here in the midst of a fearful place. And so he changes his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. So he plays the crazy person to save himself. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So Achish will have nothing to do with David because he's mad. Achish spares his life because of the madness, but puts him out of the city just where David wants to be right now. And so I'd like you to take a look in a couple of other places as we finish up here concerning this chapter. Take a look at Psalm 34. The title of the psalm is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Just a word about the name Abimelech there. Abimelech was the name of a king in Gath, the kingly name in Gath, just as Pharaoh was the kingly name in Egypt. So Achish is his real name and Abimelech is his title. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Remember, David's running in fear. And he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And what happened? And delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they seek the Lord. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto him that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his spirit servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The phrase is there, many are the afflictions of the righteous. David was going to have many more afflictions all the years he was running away from Saul. But the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. David also writes about this same time in Psalm 56. If you turn over a few more pages there to that one. To the chief musician upon a big long name, a miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. And can you imagine yourself in that situation? Here you are, you're just an enemy of these people, and you showed up, and they take you and take you before the king. And these words are in David's mind, if not in his mouth at that time. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. And while he goes on there for a few more verses, I'd like you to take with you this verse, verse number 3. What time I am afraid, what's he say? I will trust him. I don't know how many times I've turned to that particular verse. Especially, I've had many operations where they've had to put me out. My greatest fear about being put out is that I will no longer have mental control and the evil side of me will come out some way while I'm under. And so my last words as I go under, when I'm afraid, I will trust him. Our Father, keep us as you have kept David safe in this time. Help us to remember our covenant with you and with those about us here, that we would honor it always. Keep us in your word. Keep us in your knowledge of all time, that we will know the truth and allow the truth to always set us free. Keep us safe as we go from here. Direct us and guide us that we might honor and glorify you in all things. And we ask this in Jesus, our Lord's name. Amen.